In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua is one of my favorite people of the Bible. I see and hear a man of action. I see a man who was willing often to swim vigorously against the tide. He served as Moses' second in command, which also made him the general for more than one generation of Israel's fighting men, leading the Hebrew nation into battle over and over and over again for almost 40 years. When it came to his relationship with the Lord God, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt and made him the successor of Moses in conquering the land promised to them, there was absolutely no doubt where he stood and where he consistently and faithfully also led his own family to stand with him. The words before us today are from the end of Israel's journey at the moment where they're about to completely finish their conquest and settling of the promised land. And it's time for Joshua to make his way into retirement and walk off and settle on his particular piece of inheritance, his homestead with his family, after a very long and challenging career. I'd like you to focus with me on just a few words of that lesson again. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us up and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Anytime I read those words, I'm immediately standing on a front porch in central Indiana 30 years ago as the little congregation was gathering that I had been sent to help start. We were going through the neighborhoods doing what we referred to as a religious interest or a religious service survey, in which we were basically asking people questions like what they knew about the Bible, what they thought they needed most from a church, what was the favorite thing about the best church they had ever experienced, and how they understood people would get into heaven someday. Then our final question was always whether they were interested in receiving any more information about this fledgling little fellowship that was just starting, that hadn't even started to hold services yet. Well, as I waited for someone to answer the door on the particular porch that I was standing that day, I couldn't help but notice gorgeous door knocker, one of those old-fashioned, very ornate door knockers on the front door, engraved boldly on it, Joshua, the reference right here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But not the words, just the verse reference. And when the man finally answered the door, I didn't ask him anything about that because he was very friendly and eager and ready to answer questions, so I simply began the survey. And moving down the survey, it became apparent that this man had absolutely no spiritual life whatsoever. He'd never owned a Bible. He could only recall being to church a few times for weddings and funerals. And clearly he was starting to sense the bewilderment coming over my face because he finally just stopped and asked me if it was any of the way that he was answering the questions that had caused me to react that way. And I assured him it had absolutely nothing to do with what he said to me, but what I was seeing over his left shoulder. And he turned and said, "You mean that?" You know what that is? You know what that means? That was on the door the day we moved in. We have no idea what that engraving means. And so I told him, shared the whole idea with him. And he told me, as we finished our conversation, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go get my tools and take that off the door, because I wouldn't want to give anybody the wrong impression. And I suspect I know a few people who would love to have that for their home. He was not about to pretend that he and his family were ready to stand with Joshua and serve the Lord. How about you? Do you have a feel from these verses what that really all entails? Do you have a feel for what it means in the way you're living your life in the world today? It might actually be a bit more of an investment than you realize, so let's get a little background work here, do a little background work on what this conversation needs to be all about. Joshua knew all too well how God's chosen people of Israel would so easily compromise the principles at the center of their special relationship with the Creator God. They knew how he had saved them, how he had been directly involved in releasing them from slavery and oppression in Egypt. And yet Joshua could, and he actually did in the verses just prior to our lesson, run down the history of this half-hearted and wayward people with facts based on hundreds of years of awful, sinful behavior. It started all the way back in the Promised Land with the original family of Jacob, his 12 sons, before their migration down to Egypt caused by the famine of Joseph's day. Immorality and wayward behavior had already begun. The moral and spiritual compromises those particular men were willing to make were many, and they ranged from just a little bit over the line to especially grievous in the Lord's eyes. It seems as though the heathen immoral practices and philosophies of whoever happened to be their neighbors at the moment were always tugging Jacob's descendants away from a clear and true and focused obedience to and service of the Lord. To sum up Joshua's review of the whole situation, he was ultimately saying something like this: I know the history of this family and the nation this family has become. I know how this family has behaved. Back in Canaan, then during the years of the sojourn in Egypt, then during the wandering years journeying through the wilderness, back to the Promised Land, straight through the conquering and dividing and settling of that land, right up to the day that I'm standing here now in front of you, ready to go join my family on the homestead for retirement. And he said in so many words, you have been skirt chasers, and you have been drunken revelers, and you have been behind the scenes idolaters with the very worst of them. He made it clear. You've placed your sexual pursuits and illicit relationships above God's clear will expressed in his word over and over again, generation after generation after generation. Oh, sure, you've observed the Sabbath and worshiped weekly on Saturdays, Saturday after Saturday, showing the whole world your piety and your obedience and your loyalty as required, kept a consistent outward appearance of faithfulness. But then, over and over and over again, generation after generation after generation, the rest of the week, from Sunday morning until the next Sabbath, Friday evening sunset, you've had your secret home-based dalliances with heathen gods and philosophies that have led your hearts and your families ever slowly but surely away from the true God as the answer to all your needs. You've compromised over and over, little by little, until you can no longer disciple or discern decipher what is truly from God and what is of human origin from your own immediate culture surrounding you or all of the other heathen cultures that have impacted that culture day by day. You can't see how all those things of human origin are being used by the devil to darken your understanding and corrode your soul. And then simply, in essence, Joshua concluded, I've had enough. I'm calling out all of this sin for what it is, what it truly is, one last time. And I'm warning you how eternally damaging and dangerous your choices, your behavior, and your perspectives are. And then I'm going home. Going home to live with my family, to live for and serve the Lord with determination and clarity every single day. My family and I will be examples for all of you what that means as we live for and serve the Lord every single day. We will meditate on the Lord's word every day. We will allow that word to examine every last thing about our lives and our conduct of our lives, measuring them so that when we sin, we will call that sin out. We will repent of that sin. We will plead with the Lord for forgiveness and ask His Holy Spirit to guide us in living for God in a way that demonstrates our sorrow and our desire to live what God calls us to live. And we will thank God and give Him glory for His forgiveness, not by taking license in that peace with God, but allowing God to guide our every choice, our every word, our every desire, our every gesture. In other words, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look with me for a few moments at the world in which we live. This American Midwest culture with its long-term veneer of nominal Christianity, Christian sensitivity that clearly no longer even pretends to serve the Lord the way it once and always only pretended to do. Greed, sexual immorality, heathen spiritual philosophies and the like, they don't run rampant just through our neighborhoods and our workplaces. They also ooze their way through our churches and our Christian organizations. The individual members of our churches and many of the organizations that label themselves Christians that we might belong to see many of these immoral temptations as personal options, worthy choices that they somehow can synchronize with their Christianity, with how the Scripture speaks of Christianity, and still believe. Truly believe with all of their hearts that one day this will all end in their being in heaven with God. Is that really all that different from what Joshua was identifying and speaking against that day as he said farewell to the Israelites all those years ago? This phenomenon that's been a reality as long as there's been human beings is technically referred to as spiritual synergism. Our particular variety of it in our day, I personally refer to as the eclectic American majority religion. In other words, Americans are really good at picking and choosing whatever they're going to want for themselves. In the philosophies of the way they live their lives, their choices about morality and what they will believe. We've been taught from little on that we have every right to choose all of that for ourselves, and no one, not even God, gets to define for us what we are going to believe. little bit by little bit, we carve out for ourselves from all of that morality and philosophy that surrounds us what we personally are going to believe. And we as Americans, especially Christians, somehow believe that we can do all of that however we please and still call ourselves Christians, even though much of what we're living and believing, accepting, and encouraging others in doesn't match up even close to how the scriptures actually define what Christianity is, what the way of salvation is, what living for God and defining our morality by His will actually looks like. Joshua would stand among us today and repeat his farewell message mantra. It was in essence this: I know that this nation has not really served the Lord for a long time. That's pretty much exactly what Joshua said. I know all the heathen nonsense that's going on right now. And I know that nothing much is going to change in the future. But for me and for my family, those who believe in the triune God, who believe the word that He has given us, we will serve the Lord. And before you're ready to stand up and give Joshua his well-deserved standing ovation for being so bold and directive and timeless in his statement, let's make sure we are completely with him in truth and not just rhetoric. Are we going to serve the Lord by listening to his word every single day of our lives? Are we going to serve the Lord by allowing that word of God to examine every single aspect of our lives so that it shows us clearly our misbehavior, our misbelief, and our unbelief? Doing that clearly so that the Holy Spirit might lead us to correction of everything that is exposed by that truth day by day. Are we going to hear only the Lord's voice in guiding our living and confessing of His saving love and grace in a world that we see and know hates our Savior God as much today as it ever has? Because those are all absolutely requirements for any of us, for every one of us, to ever stand with Joshua. It's so humbling for every single one of us to have to admit that we will each fail that test. Yet every single one of us also has every reason to thank and praise our God of unconditional grace, unrelenting love, for His forgiveness and His willingness to work His mighty power in our hearts and lives to change us, and His Spirit's continual presence in our minds and our hearts to enlighten us, to see with truth and clarity the world around us in which we live, and to look at our own lives with that same truth and clarity and examine them the way He sees them. Seeing things for what they really are. The Lord knows our hearts. He also knows our intentions, and He also clearly knows how often we would really, truly desire to live for Him, His way. But that old sinful nature that clings to every one of us just won't let us get it done. Praise your Savior God, that He will continually partner with you every single day of your life, drawing you closer to Him, more aware of and understanding of the word that he speaks to you as often as you're willing to listen to it and hear it and apply it, that declares you righteous through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that assures you of your status as approved to not just stand before him in a moment of worship like this now, but to stand in his presence forever, approved to live with him forever, so that your understanding of his truth and your ability to apply it to your life every day leads you to be able to humbly and gently stand before a world that will scoff on the hearing of it. Stand with Joshua and say with honesty, as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.